Welcome to Weekend at Effie's. It's a big week. We're going to talk about a lot of things on here. It's going to be intense. We've had a crazy one. We're going to talk about Hartford, Connecticut. Effie's going to get fired up about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk about the Mecca. Effie's going to get really fired up about television wrestling for a good minute. And then we're going to get into some crazy questions where I accidentally summon one of Michael Keaton's best characters. I hope you enjoy the podcast, weekendateffies.com for the Patreon. Listen up. We're getting weird. To quote partially the great Fred Durst, it's just one of those weeks where you need to take deep breaths. I changed the lyrics. Just deep breaths in and out. It's been a week where, have you ever had an anger dream, Peter?
An anger dream?
Yeah, where like you're just angry at everything in the dream, and every time you get angrier, it makes it worse. I had an anger dream this week.
Interesting.
And I think it was necessary. I've been very just pointy. And I'll be honest about it. I've been very pointy. But I think when you have an anger dream where you show up and you're just mean to everyone, even though they're not mean, you wake up and you go, you know what? I can be angry at all of this stuff. I can be angry at things not working. Or I can say, you know what? I'm not selling for this bullshit. I'm going to Hulk Hogan no sell all the bullshit. And I'm going to just rise above it. And I'm going to have a good time. And it's taken me until today. We're recording later than usual. It's, you know, almost Wednesday night. We're having our PM coffee, which is delicious. We're at the tail end of our, what is it, kitty cat coffee?
Yeah.
Now, do the kitty cats eat the beans and poop them out like that magical South Asian coffee?
No, this is, I'm going to forget the name. A different kind of kitty cat.
Okay. All right. Well, first, let me put things over. Number one.
No, I had a Bebop eat these beans and poop them out.
Bebop, great job. You really added some flavor to these beans. I will say I have been bribing him lately, and people are going to message in and they're going to say, you can't give a dog that. And you have a chart on the refrigerator now of what you can and cannot give a dog. That's smart. But he really likes peanut butter pretzel bites. So every once in a while, now they're too salty. They're too peanut buttery. They probably have too much sugar.
I thought peanut butter was okay in small.
Peanut butter is probably fine. Okay. But peanut butter pretzel bites, I don't know. He's pooped fine. He seems to be okay. He really likes peanut butter pretzel bites. And I'll hide one at the bottom of his food, and he'll have to kind of eat through everything. And then he tricks himself into eating it. But I do want to put over here, I haven't had many announcements yet. I've had a few announcements, including Rico Gonzalez, including Dylan McQueen, including Ashton Starr, including Bussy. Soon to come, some announcements about Dark Sheik, Boya Del Mar, and a few more people. One person who I confirmed this week, who may injure me this weekend, but Saturday, September 2nd, at noon Central Time, Effie's Big Gay Brunch 7. Now, somebody said, you already had the 7th one, and it was in England. That's Effie's Big Gay Brunch International number 1. This is Effie's Big Gay Brunch 7 U.S., the 7th that I've done with Game Changer Wrestling. And usually, there's a lot more shows in those weekends. As you can remember, in the previous years, I've wrestled 7 matches in 5 days before. A big gay brunch in Chicago. And it seems this time I will wrestle Freelance Thursday night. I will wrestle a GCW Friday night. And then Saturday morning, we will have our show. Breakfast can be purchased. Tickets can be purchased. FEBGB7.eventbrite.com. And no spoilers. I'm trying to get you there, Peter. I'm trying to get you involved. And I'm waiting on one more text message. And I hope the people out there will support our vision for Weekend at Effie's. And we'll see what's announced. We'll see what's announced. But hell, I think it'll be worth it. I don't think it'd be the craziest thing in the world for us to pull this off. And I think it could be very informative for you and very entertaining for hardcore wrestling fans to see how you react to wrestling. We're very excited for this weekend. There's a lot going on. I think they'll have All In is what it's called. All In. They're doing All Out in England. All In is that weekend along with StarCast 6. So we'll see where it takes us. Effie's Big Gay Brunch 7. I hope you all support. We've sold a lot of tickets so far. We could sell a lot more tickets. I want to sell this thing out. I want to have a huge party. I want this to be a celebration event. And if you're a celebrity who would like to attend the event, just go to febgb7.eventbrite.com and purchase your tickets. If you're wondering if you can be a part of the show, of course you can. We're very excited to book you as a live studio audience member if you get tickets at febgb7.eventbrite.com. I'm not answering DMs right now. I will reach out to those I need to reach out to. I've already reached out to some people. If you're not included in this, we've said this before, Peter, and I vented some frustration to you this week, and I'm going to be very much nicer about it. If you're not included on this event, it does not invalidate your sexuality. It does not invalidate your wrestling skill. It does not invalidate your career. It just means that you weren't on a wrestling show. Do you know how many wrestling shows I'm on? Many. Many wrestling shows. Do you know how many wrestling shows I'm not on? Many, many more. So try to look into your heart and ask yourself, why does this exist? I can explain this to you. It exists because I started baking my own pie because I was tired of sharing the pie. If you're mad that there's not a piece of pie for you, you start with flour, a little bit of butter, some kind of filling, maybe a topper, and you bake that fucking pie yourself. I'm so excited when I see gay events happening, when I see more gay wrestling shows happening. But I must say that the butt hurt going on about not being included in a big gay brunch, I'm not gonna give you any more than that. Your butt hurt, I get it. It's not on me anymore. I've let it go. It's already past me now, as that one guy said at the hotel. Do you remember that video? Or it's already above me now, you know, where they were complaining at the front and they said some racial remarks to this guy. And I think the guy at the desk just said, it's already above me now. Sort of like, give it to God. It's not on me. You know what you did. No harm, no foul. I'm so excited to see everyone there. I will say this. People have come to me and said, why aren't there more big gay brunches? Why aren't there more of this? Listen, folks, I can't help the fact that I'm very over, very busy, and very on the road. I had a promoter reach out recently and give me 6 different dates. And Peter, guess what?
You're booked on all of them?
I didn't have any of the dates open. I was booked. And they then went to someone else and said, can you please help me figure this out? I think he hates us. I don't hate you. I'm very busy. And I just want to be, and this is a blessing. What a blessing. You need to talk with your money first before you hand me any motherfucking dates. Because I'm not going to start passing out dates and then you can't even pay the rate. So just understand that you've got to come and make this worth my fucking time. Peter, do you know how many times I wish I had a day off? You do, probably more than anyone.
Yeah.
Next week, I've got some days off.
So I've been sick this week.
Yeah.
And it's funny how I miss 2 days and it's like, oh, I could see him for the podcast.
See you for the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, well, we'll get into it. Everyone almost had a crazy week, a travel week. There's just bullshit. There's a secret strike going on nobody's talking about.
I'm currently pulling up astrologers to get consultations from and working on my resume. So.
I love that. And you know what? Let it be a sign that better things are ahead. We will jump through difficulties. I have to say we were recording this today on my good friend Pryor's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
That cancer. It's a good thing. He's one of my favorite people. Please check out. Now, you know he does a lot of my wrestling as gay designs. He's done designs for Danhausen, for AEW, and most importantly, a ton of designs for Effie. But if you want to check out his website, his cool merchandise, okyyeah.cool, which if you've ever met Mr. Pryor's, you would understand okyyeah.cool is pretty much how he reacts to everything. I'll be like, I need this. I need this and this detail and all of this going on. He goes, okay, yeah, cool. And I think he's doing some cool stuff. Check it out. Okay, yeah, not cool. Happy birthday.
I want his Asteroid City poster.
Oh, my goodness.
It's incredible.
We're going to spend some time on the mini-show talking about Asteroid City. I've had time to process it and do a little reading, and I think I have more.
I'm running into people that hated it. It's wonderful.
I just want to say, if you hated Asteroid City, you're probably stupid. And there's nothing wrong with being stupid, but you're probably stupid, and that's okay. That's fine. It's all right. But you're stupid as fuck. And it was one of the most beautiful looks at art and where we are as a society now, and a framing where I finally understand if you don't go to sleep, you can't wake up if you don't fall asleep. There you go. You can't wake up if you don't fall asleep. We're going to talk about it on the mini-show.
You can't wake up if you don't fall asleep.
You can't wake up if you don't fall asleep, okay? We're going to talk about it heavily on the mini-show. It's sitting with me so much that I almost want to go see it again tonight. There's a Plaza showing. I don't know. We got stuff going on. It's busy. I thought about it earlier. Might be too much. Might all be too much. Might not. We'll see. We'll see where it takes us. Welcome to Weekend at Effie's. Peter, Are you feeling any better?
Sort of. I'm here.
Yeah, we're here. And that's good. That's all I can ask of you. And it honestly helps a ton for you to just be here. We're going to go through a lot of stuff this weekend. Some great shows, some great magic. If you're not supporting us on the Patreon, patreon.com/weekendateffies or weekendateffies.com. I do have a new video finally going up. I had to make sure I got enough footage. It's been a second, but I'm making it happen. This is one of the most important vlogs in the world, and I hope that you take a look because there's no vlog like it. Someone said, will you make a regular vlog? This is a regular vlog. This is the chaos of how I view the world. This is what you get. There's a dragon that I pass at one point during something we'll talk about, and I just go, dragon, why are you ruining my life? And it's very authentic, and it's very real, and I'm very excited to take a big swig of this coffee and get into it, okay? Oh, that shit is good. Mm-hmm. What's it called again?
Catfight Coffee.
Catfight Coffee. If you've ever listened to Marc Maron, he used to have the, I don't remember the name of the coffee, but he would take a sip and he would go, bang! Because he just said, it's like getting you ready to poop. And I think this gives me the realness. And I really like, I know you got some different creamer. I really like this coconut creamer. I'm a coconut creamer boy.
Oh, yeah. The coconut is good.
Is this not the coconut?
This is the keto vanilla creamer.
Whoa. I thought it was coconut. I thought I tasted coconut in there. It's probably the
coconut or MCT oil that's in it.
Okay. Well, it's great. MCT oil, isn't that good for... Have you ever seen Lorenzo's oil?
Oh. Yeah, I have seen Lorenzo's oil.
We have to get him this oil. Is that Andy Garcia? Or is it...
Is it?
I think it's either Andy Garcia or... It's
the director of Babe, Pig in the City and all the Mad Max movies.
Oh, my God. George Miller did Lorenzo's oil? Yeah. Holy mackerel. I was... thinking it might be Antonio Banderas, but I think it's Andy Garcia. We're going to get some clarification here. Thank God.
It was Nick Nolte.
What?
Nick Nolte.
Why do I think Andy Garcia when it's Nick Nolte?
And Susan Sarandon.
All right. Well, Nick Nolte didn't have that accent, so why am I giving him this beautiful... I don't know. I think I probably saw Stand and Deliver around the same time.
Okay, so Peter Ustinov was also in it. James Rebhorn... I don't know who else you would be thinking of.
I think Nick Nolte is Andy Garcia.
Maybe.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. We're drinking Lorenzo's oil now. It's good for our bones or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. I got to say this, okay? Friday, I had a day kind of off. And so I went to see something spectacular. Now, I hope AJ's mom is not listening to this because they have tickets to go see it at the end of the month. But I pulled up Vivid Tickets or Tick Pick or Game Time or something. I pulled up one of the apps and I saw
Ticket
Wicked.
Slut.
Tick Slut. Yeah. Ticket in me. I saw Wicked tickets on sale in Atlanta for very cheap. And I said, AJ, will you go see Wicked tonight with me and not tell your mom? He said, yeah. Now, little did I know. They were not good seats. And I don't mean like not good seats like way far back. I mean not good seats. We were in front of one of the lighting rigs and you couldn't really see. But luckily, the two wonderful women next to us, who I don't know their names, I thank them, they saw that there were more open seats down. So they scoot down so that our seats got better.
What angels.
And you know AJ, right? And we got there and he said, we should just leave. Right. He said, we should just leave. And this isn't, I'm not trying to roast him. He was like, you got to look at this stuff before you just grab tickets. And I said, I only paid this much for the tickets. And he goes, well, you still can't see. I said, I know. So we were a little nervous at first, but right when the play started, we got to move down. Our seats were now perfect. Balcony seats overlooking. And I like the balcony seats a lot better because I like to watch the orchestra, which I looked.
Yeah.
The drummer, the conductor, the keyboard player, they were all on tour. But every other member of that orchestral union was Atlanta-based musicians, which I think is very cool. And although Beetlejuice, which I would really like to go see Beetlejuice in February or
Be
March.
Careful.
Why?
You got one more.
Why? I'm allowed to say it. Right?
You got.
Hey.
You got one more.
Lydia, I'm here.
I can't say it anymore, but I will say that the original Broadway production featured my co-star from Dead End Paranormal Park, Alex Brightman. And now the touring version, I don't think, features Alex Brightman. He also did Co-op, the original cast score of Co-op on Documentary Now.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you rewatch the one with Skarsgård the whole way through because it's a two-part. Because Cousin Greg shows up as former child star. And Skarsgård's description of him showing up, he's like, he was the saddest boy I've ever seen because after he was a child star, he became only sad all the time.
Okay, I need you to intervene in my sick movie watching right now because I almost rewatched Killing of a Sacred Deer last night.
It's the funniest movie I've ever seen.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Oh, I'll watch it with you, though. That's the problem. You just asked me to intervene, and I'll watch it with you. Bebop, hop up, you fat little boy.
I have been catching up on old seasons. Well, more recent seasons of Always Sunny, and it's been delightful.
The new season has really gotten me fired up. I hope we can talk about that in the minisode as well as... The Bear. We're going to talk about The Bear.
Holy shit.
And I'm going to spend at least 10 minutes talking about Jeremy Allen White, a.k.a. Carmi's triceps, because holy fuck, okay? As you said, he's the working man's Timothée Chalamet, and I just want to say he would beat the shit out of Timothée Chalamet with those buff-ass triceps.
We also got to talk about that Wonka trailer.
Oh, we're going to talk about the Wonka trailer. Let me tell you this. I could barely get through the trailer, and the saddest part was, once I admitted that, I also admitted I'm going to go see it in theaters. Okay? And we're going to talk about Hugh Grant. I'm not trying to keep the minisode info from people, but the minisodes are more focused on our processing of entertainment.
Yeah.
And we are going to be returning to our movie John, Effie Burton, Peter Bird at the movies. And do you know our next category yet?
Oh, we are sitting on pins and needles at this very moment.
Well, I've done that before. Is that that's not the theme, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. Our movie John is waiting in my P.O. box right now.
Hell yeah.
And I brought up on Twitter, I got these cool bracelets this weekend from two separate people. One says Bussy and one says wrestling is gay. I keep it on my wrist to say Bussy is gay. But anything larger than a bracelet, send it to the P.O. box. Where can you find the P.O. box? On every episode description, I'm pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
On my Twitter. I think I put it on Instagram. Send it to the P.O. box. I cannot carry shit around. If you want to give stuff to the dogs, send it to the P.O. box. If you want to send me $400 cash, send it to the P.O. box. Lucy's having fun over there. All right. Let's talk about Wicked for a second. Because I had never seen the play Wicked. But I have a special connection to Wicked. Because when I used to play in orchestra... When I played viola for almost 14 years, we played a whole concert of Wicked songs. So I know all the songs. And also, my first girlfriend invited me to be in her Episcopalian theater. What do you call it when you do like skits from different plays? Like it's like a variety show kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was the one getting made over during the song Popular. Okay.
Okay.
Clearly, I'm a homosexual now. Of course I'll be in your skit. That sounds beautiful. So I knew these songs, and I loved every second of it. And I just want to say that I think Elphaba is one of the hottest names of all time. Now, there were flying monkeys, as you can imagine. This is based on the world of Wizard of Oz.
I know nothing about Wicked.
Okay, here, synopsis. You remember the Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
And you remember how there was a wicked witch?
Yes.
Turns out, not that wicked. Because in Wicked, we find out there's a lot more to the story. And I don't want to spoil too much because there's a two-part movie coming out next year with, I forget her last name. It's Cynthia. She's been in a few things. She was recently in Harriet, I believe, the Harriet Tubman play. She'll be playing Elphaba. And then Ariana Grande will be playing Galinda. And there's a lot of twists and turns, and you can never look at The Wizard of Oz the same again. Because you understand where all these characters came from, you understand how much secrecy there is, and you see that the wicked actions of the Wicked Witch are not that wicked after all, okay?
Is this kind of like how they did The Three Little Pigs, but the wolf was just like a real estate investor or something?
Yeah, and they wouldn't pay rent?
Yeah.
Probably. Except for
that one's not as sympathetic anymore if that really was the case.
Yeah, we think one thing I think about landlords is, well, I'll just say this. I've been spending a lot of time.
He was making one of those pigs live in a house made of straw. That's terrible living conditions.
But I will say that's all he had the deposit for. I'm not going to defend a landlord, especially not a wolf landlord right now. I put up some, what are they called? Blueprints for construction projects on Twitter if you want to learn how to make a guillotine. Did you see the trailer for Napoleon?
I don't want to watch it.
Ooh.
I want to go into that one clean.
I went into Asteroid City clean. It was cool. Napoleon is afraid. Okay. That's all I got to say about that.
I guess I do generally know who that person was, and I don't need to.
He was not a good man.
I assume so.
But it's going to be brutal as fuck.
He was a little bit taller, right?
Well, they say the average height for the time was 5'6", which my dad told me the average height for the time was 5'4", because he's 5'5 and a half. Really proud of him. Got to call him back. Tried to call him before Wicked, and then he called me back the next day. I've been on Do Not Disturb for so long that I don't really know who's calling me. It's a problem. Either way, Wicked was marvelous. I think I'll try defying gravity. The witch goes up and she learns how to do spells. And the Wizard of Oz is a fucking loser. Okay. And I don't want to spoil it, but he might have been fucking around. Okay.
I mean, it is James Franco, right?
Was that from that movie? James Franco, I bet you smell like just old soil and dirty sweat all the time. So probably you are the Wizard of Oz. The guy who played the Wizard of Oz in this one was fantastic, but it was heartwarming. It was moving. Everybody has, it's muddy now. You know what I mean? Who's good? Who's bad? Who's making mistakes? Everyone was fantastic, and they're in Atlanta for a few more weeks. I suggest checking it out, but the regular retail tickets are like, the seats that we were in, regular retail is like 150 plus fees. Got them for 35. Okay. Yeah, there were lights in front of us, but it worked out. We moved down. We had a good time, and it was nice to go to a play on a Friday instead of already be on the road, because tomorrow I'm going to have a virtual signing when I land, which is online at Whatnot. This will be out after that. I'm going to fight Stan Styles, the King of Cream Style, who also carries around a shake weight. Try to dick him with a shake weight. Friday, Cardona and Steph DeLander take on Bussy. Saturday, Bussy goes to Montreal, Canada to take on PCP Crazy Manny and Lou Fisto. And then Sunday, I'm fighting Frontman Jaw in a one-on-one contest. And the last time I saw Frontman Jaw, I was not nice, because the last three big gay brunches, I've invited him and he skipped out on coming to go do extra work for the fucking Fed. Okay. So he asked me something and I was a real dick about it. And then I called him Frontman Jobber because I said, sounds like all you want to do is go over there and say, yes, please, to them putting you in a cop uniform instead of being a star and standing on your own. You know what these guys don't realize about doing extra work over at the WWE or at anywhere or being on Dark? The second you just start saying yes to anything they tell you, they're never going to say yes to anything you ask. You've become their little jobber bitch. And Jaw, on Sunday, I'm going to show you what a star really looks like. We've had matches before that ended in kisses. This one will not end in a kiss. This will end in pain and suffering for those who you hold dearly and yourself. How's that sound?
Damn.
Yeah. I'm real tired of everybody thinking they're following the right path. And then I go, this isn't the good path. And then they don't find out until later. And then they come crawling back. Well, you can crawl to daddy, because I've got a chance to beat the shit out of you. No holds barred. Sunday, first wrestling. It'll be great. It's a big weekend ahead. But like I said, Friday night, I'm at the show. I'm having a good time. Saturday morning, everybody had to fly into like New Jersey, New York. I flew directly into Hartford, Connecticut. Okay. And I've never been to this airport before. It was beautiful. But I have to tell you, the Hartford show for GCW, it started and I tried to keep it in, but I was pissed the fuck off, Peter. Okay. Let me just clear this up. Everybody's messaging me on Twitter saying, we're coming to see you, Effie. Everybody's coming up to me at the show saying, we came to see you, Effie. And I said, GCW, where's my fucking match? No match announced. Every announcement, though, Peter, every announcement set to appear, Effie. Effie. Effie will be there. Effie. And I started to feel a little bit like I was not being taken advantage of, but I was too reliable. Oh, Effie will be there. Effie doesn't need an extra graphic for himself. Effie doesn't need an announced match. You guys will buy fucking tickets for him anyway. And I told them that I had concerns over this. I said, it feels like you think I'll just keep doing whatever is asked of me. And that's not the way this is going to fucking go. With one day's notice, I put tickets on sale for the big gay brunch. and I sold a fuck ton of tickets, Peter, at high prices, including brunch tickets. Whenever I am announced for any show, I sell tickets. I think there are a lot of people who have announced matches that no one gives a fuck about. Yes, I'm talking about people on the roster. There are a lot of y'all who have announced matches that no one gives a fuck about. I am Effie. They are asking what I am doing. I do not have a direct answer for them. So let's go ahead and clear the air and make sure that in the future, when Effie is on the show, he is treated like the star that he is. Lucy's feeling it today. I love it.
Yeah.
She's such a sweet girl to me, but she's also very independent. I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. Do you know what that means? It means I have no master and no God. All I'm saying is, I'm not going to keep being rude about it, but I'm going to be treated like the money-making star that I am, like the draw that I am, and I'm going to be given roles of importance, or I'm going to start shooting on motherfuckers and taking back what is mine. And I'm not going to keep looking at Blake Christian, pretend he's the most hated man in wrestling with his shitty little belt walking around while I listen to the match and no one gives a fuck. And when Effie walks out, they are screaming like it's fucking Beatles mania. All right, fuck John Lennon. Paul McCartney's been dead for years. Ringo Starr's an idiot. George Harrison was too high to know what was going on. But it feels like Beatles mania. Because
isn't Ringo Thomas the Tank now?
Oh, am I Thomas the Tank Engine? Oh, I'm not sure. Didn't he play the, I thought he was like the like, what's the dude on the tracks that's like, get on the train. I thought he was that guy. Conductor man or something.
Is he?
Oh, I don't know. Get on the train. We're leaving the station. I can't do a good Ringo. It's very, I'm just trying to
you
do it.
You did once convince me that he had died and I was frantically searching for what insider information.
I'm not dead.
Had.
I'm not dead. I'm right here. Get on the train. Because, and I had this conversation with Speedball Bailey on Sunday. I said, Speedball, as I was hosting a show, I said, Speedball,
I have this really great idea for a match you should do.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about that. First, I walked up to him. I said, Speedball, did you hear you can't wear shoes today? Or you have to wear shoes today, Speedball. And he goes, what? And I said, I'm fucking with you. He goes, why would you do that? I said, because it's fucking hilarious. He said, I thought there was going to be glass or something and I would have to wear shoes. I said, no. I'm just messing with you. And I said, Speedball, I got to complain for a second, okay? I didn't have an announced match yesterday. And it made me mad, and I forced myself into someone else's match. And he goes, why do you need a match, Effie? This is the same concept as someone telling me Effie doesn't need to run the ropes. You're right, he doesn't need to. But Effie will always work harder than he needs to, because that's what Effie does. Why don't you just have a segment where they say, and now it's time for Effie, and you do your entrance, and then you come out, and you maybe tell a story, or maybe not, maybe you just pose, and then you leave for the night and sell merchandise. And I said, because that'll only work for so long. It sounds like a great idea, Speedball. But here's the facts. I want an announced match. The people want an announced match. So sadly, I had to go butt into my friend's business. They did say, MLJ, God bless him. He goes, and now it's time for Effie. They played my theme song. Hartford, Connecticut, the Webster Theater, which used to be a movie theater, which used to be a jack-off theater. And the hashtag was GCW cleanup man, hashtag GCWCUM. And I kept joking to everyone. I go, can you hear the ghosts of the spilled seed? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I said, they just longed to be fertilized babies. And all I can hear is goo goo gaga from the walls. I came out and Hartford, Connecticut went fucking nuts. I talked and there were MLB scouts there. Not that I'm playing for the MLB, but they said you were their favorite. Yeah, I know. I'm everyone's fucking favorite because I'm electric, fantastic, and fuck you. That's what Effie stands for. You guys know that. You know all of this. And they went nuts, and I asked for a fight. And John Wayne Murdoch got up in my face, and he started beating me, who had a scheduled match already with Cole Radrick. And Cole Radrick came to the ring, and they decided it would be a triple threat now. And we all beat the shit out of each other, and we had a great time, and it was a wonderful match. Should I have to jump in the middle of their match? No. Should Effie have been announced for whatever match he was in already? Yes. Are you taking advantage of Effie's goodwill by making the assumption that he will just show up and do whatever dingbat shit you ask him to do? Yes, yes you are. Will I continue doing that? I got dates through about September 25th, and we'll see where we go from there. But I will be making sure that I'm treated like a fucking star, because the assumption that I will just keep showing up for nothing is dumb. And I will be back to take that fucking belt off that boring-ass white man before Tony Khan can sign him to a full-time deal. Because our last two fucking champions have been on TV deals or have had to run off to be a part of some dick-ass AEW dark with a subscription Ring of Honor play falsity bullshit. And I am tired of the independents being run by people who are not independent. Lovely to see you back out on the indies, Tyler Breeze. It's great that you've ignored me for two fucking years while you haven't had a job and I've been trying to create a match that will get you back over. Good thing Fandango is willing to play ball. Have fun at Revolver on the day of the brunch. We will be waiting, but I will not be holding you to the high standard that I once did. Oh, do you know he fought Jushin Thunder Liger? Ooh, Effie said it wrong. It's Jushin Thunder. I don't give a fuck. Breeze, have fun while you can. Because you boys, you silly boys, all you NXT fuck-ups, all you fired-ass motherfuckers who are going around collecting thousands and thousands from every fucking promoter in the U.S., good luck keeping that up, because once they see that you can't pull your fucking weight, once they see that you need a good opponent to keep you over, they're not going to book you any longer. Good fucking luck. We could have done this a year ago. We could have done this 2 years ago. We could have done this on multiple occasions. And now you want to come back? Girl, you must be feeling desperate down there. You must have been waiting for that phone call and it never came. Let them fucking watch you take a selfie. The world has passed you by. We will see you on the other side, and you can come ask me, because I'm not asking you anymore, motherfucker. Am I fired up?
A little.
Good.
I did just write down that this episode should be called Effie's Inferno, because you're fired up.
Did you see that cruise ship that's going to sink with all the people on board? Mm-hmm. So excited. If you get on that cruise ship, you knew what was going to happen. You fucking knew. Someone described it as a toddler with ADHD drawing something with crayons. Just, nah, it's a cruise ship. It has three water parks. Solidarity with orcas.
It's just like you can't. Saturn and Pisces, come on. Like,
come on. Are
fucking idiots.
What idiots? And you know what? We're excited for people to go explore it once it sinks. That's all I'm going to say. All you idiots. Next week, we're going to be talking about the great space race. Which great billionaire will go to space? All of them. All of y'all go to fucking space.
I just need Tom to make it out alive. That's all I need.
Is he going to space?
He's going to space.
For what? For what? For a movie?
For a movie, yeah.
What's it called?
The Untitled SpaceX Tom Cruise Project.
Oh, my God. Is he playing Ellie Musk or whatever?
Ellie Musk, yeah.
Oh, my God. All billionaires go to space as far away from this Earth as you can. Good luck.
Is that the sequel to All Dogs Go to Heaven?
Yeah, all billionaires go to hell. That's the fucking sequel.
I like that when I pull up IMDb, Daniel Day-Lewis is the first thing that pops up.
What is he doing? Did you saw that picture I sent?
Did you ever see that musical he was in?
What's it called?
Like Nine.
Oh, yeah. With John C. Reilly.
Wait. Oh, yeah.
John C. Reilly's my favorite of all time.
He might be the greatest of all time.
He is
Untitled Tom Cruise / SpaceX project pre-production.
I love my popcorn. Movies and popcorn.
Doug Liman is directing it. That is the guy who did Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
And Swingers, weirdly enough.
Okay. Shout out Swingers. That's sick.
And Christopher McQuarrie is writing it. That's the Mission Impossible guy.
Okay. I love that. We're in on the space project. But
plan
we will
to
say,
be shot in the International Space Station with help from NASA and SpaceX.
Wow. Well, Tom, we hope you make it home. Anyone else who's got $1 billion, we just want to see you in space as long as possible. You ever see that movie Gravity with George Clooney and Sandra Bullock?
Actually, no.
Okay, well, let's just pretend we remake Gravity, but it's Bezos, Musk, Zuckerberg. Who else? Who else do we need to get into space?
I would think we can throw Bezos up there.
Yeah, he's definitely going. That guy's definitely included.
What about the Virgin guy?
Oh, yeah, Richard Branson. Yeah. So we'll send four of them, and we'll tell them they'll be just like George Clooney.
Who else could we send? Did you see that someone cut together a new planet Earth, but it was Epstein Island?
Oh, my God. Listen, release the book. Release the information. We're sending them all to space, okay? You know what they say about space? No one can hear you brag about how much money you have. Okay? So I got a little fired up. I feel fired up. I had a really good time at the Hartford show. It was electric in there for Effie. They went nuts for Effie. We will be back to Hartford. It's a freaking A-town. It was a great time. Got to meet, and I'm trying to say this right, because I had this conversation with Speedball Mike Bailey about how we add too much English inflection to the Japanese names. Utami Hayashishida. Yes, I did it. I said Hayashishida, and he said, no, Hayashishida. Utami Hayashishida. Thank you for a wonderful weekend. Getting to watch you wrestle is so fucking cool. You are awesome. I said, Billy Stark says she's super famous over there. He said, if you walk down the street with Utami, people will stop you on the street in Japan. She is an idol to those people over there. She is a huge deal. And she just came in, and it's so casual. She's just on her phone a little while, doing her thing. And we're like, Utami, you're next. And then she just goes out, and they just beat the shit out of each other. And it's awesome. And it's so cool to share locker rooms like that. And you know what? Let's brag a little bit. GCW does bring in a lot of incredible talent. Jeff Hardy was just booked for an appearance at the Detroit show, which will feature Bussy. They just booked Violence is Forever versus Macizos. We don't know what Bussy's going to be doing yet. And I'm hoping that this podcast will create a situation where Bussy has a wonderful announced match, right? We're back on the hunt for the tag belts, but I got to say, it's been very difficult for both members of Bussy over the last few weeks. And I think this weekend we're going to let some violence out of our hearts.
I mean, one of you has been fighting the entire country of Canada.
She did battle the entire country of Canada, and the poor Bang Bros who had to put up with us after she got back from Canada. God rest their soul. It was rough. I heard the funniest story of all time about Davey Bang that I'll tell you later. And I can't say it on air, and he's probably mad that I know, but it's incredible. We'll get into it. After Hartford, luckily, we went to a nice hotel in town. Now, the next day when we woke up, we were going to drive to Ridgefield Park, New Jersey, to the building that they are now referring to as the Mecca, which it used to be, I guess, the Knights of Columbus or whatever. And what's fascinating about this building, number one, I cannot tell you who I rode with, okay, for kayfabe's sake. I can't even bring it up. You can take your guesses. You can have fun. But when we got there, I realized that since almost the start of my career, I've been coming to this building in different capacities. I once was paid to take a Jimmy Jacobs seminar there. I once teamed up with the Gymnasty Boys there. I once fought Ace Romero there after days of pain. I've had a lot of memories in this building. I've done a lot of things in this room. We fought Delirious and Either Surreal at the birthday party last year. And this year at the birthday party, I won't say that it's because they forgot I was booked, but I was hosting the event instead of wrestling on the event. Now, I'm actually very excited about this because I didn't have to bump or call a match. It makes things a little bit easier, but you do have to keep running up and down the stairs and going and telling people when their matches are and having little segments. And they go, why aren't you in the ring? And I go, because I didn't know I needed to be in the ring for this. And you did. And a lot of good things happened where I got to share the commentary booth with Nick Knowledge and Veda Scott. This show is free on YouTube, on the GCW YouTube page. It has some of the greatest matches. And I got to call that commentary for one of Nick Wayne's last independent matches featuring Kushida, Alex Shelley, the Time Splitters, former IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champion, whatever things. Lee Moriarty rounding out their trios team.
Greatest shooter of all time, Time Splitters.
Time Splitters 2 on GameCube fucking rips. Mm-hmm. And I wish there was a remake of that game. It is so fun.
There's been a group of like 13 people independently doing a remake on their own for like the past decade.
Well, come on. I need it.
I know.
I need it.
I know.
Oh, it's so much fun. The characters were so weird. The weapons were so weird. It was just good maps. It was good all around. I really miss this game.
I miss the day that I never really got on the whole online gaming thing. I miss the days of you and three of your friends split screen playing.
Well, somehow I've got a Mandela effect deal over the GoldenEye game, where I thought you could have computer players in your GoldenEye, like when you're doing multiplayer. It's not true. It's false. It's you and real players. There's no computer players. which seems like there was at one point.
Yeah.
But Time Splitters did have that.
Okay.
And you could add a bunch of computer players. Yeah. And the map would be like 24 people going around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it'd be madness. I remember that Moon Planet level specifically and just going nutso for a while. I played the fuck out of my GameCube. I want to buy a GameCube right now. I have an N64 and I have a fucking Switch. I want a GameCube. Somebody give me the hookup on the GameCube. I bought that emulator Game Boy thing.
Yeah.
I can't. I need somebody with real technological wizardry to help me install Garlic OS on this thing and figure out how to get all these games on there. If you know, reach out.
I could probably help you with that.
I know. And there's instructions, but I read them and I went, oh!
Yeah, that's my secret is I read the instructions.
Yeah.
It's not like I have a huge tech advantage over other people. It's just I read.
You follow instructions?
I follow instructions.
Fucking Sagittarius. I need that though, because Jim and I read the instructions and goes, 5 steps, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
What are we doing? But I already have the SD card preloaded with all these games, like 400 games from PS1.
If it makes you feel any better, though, the other sign that gets accused of a lack of depth is Sagittarius.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look at us.
Because we'll go as far up into where you think that we know everything, and then we stop at that point. And as soon as someone else, like a Virgo, comes in and goes, well, here's the next 3 steps, they go, might have gotten me there.
Speaking of depth, should we go into a ghost update real quick?
Yeah. Talk about the soldier.
Yeah, the soldier.
I've decided it's a soldier.
It has to be.
It has to be.
Look,
who else would be wearing blue?
We're next to the Union Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We, the person passing by the window, sadly, it's not Howard.
No.
It's someone else.
So the other day, you and AJ were streaming.
Right.
Both of you conspicuously were wearing blue at the time.
We were.
Which is why I didn't quite think anything of it. But also the window, one of my windows in there, you probably know more about this, but it's like the glass isn't on a straight plane. It's like...
Right. So that's actually the older hand-spun technique of glass.
Okay.
And when you have antique glass like that, it's very hard to replicate because that old style glass has the wavy patterns in it. You cannot get perfectly straight glass. This is handmade old glass. This is probably glass from the original house.
So you're telling me don't break that window.
Don't break that window.
Okay.
It's expensive as fuck to get that handmade glass done. You have to call an Amish person. They don't have phones. So figure that out. We're going to have to get a pigeon.
Oof.
But you asked us when we came back because I'd walked up to the store with AJ. And we both got the new Mountain Dew. It's like a passion fruit Baja Blast.
Ooh.
Delicious. Really good.
Crazy.
And I got some peanut butter pretzels. We're both into them. And you said, did you go outside? And I said, yeah. But we had only walked out the front door, which your room is on one side of the house. My room is on the other side of the house. I'm at the front door. You're at the back door. We had gone out the front door and gone straight down the street. We did not go anywhere near the back.
And it's not like there's there would be no reason to cut through the back.
Right. It doesn't
whatsoever.
Make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
It would
sense.
Add time to what I was doing.
Yeah. But no, so for like a half second, I saw a person in all blue walking around back there and disappeared as immediately as I saw them.
Yeah, so that's the soldier.
That's the soldier.
They've definitely gone by the window before.
Mm-hmm.
I also would like, you did burn some sage, which I moved it in here when the landlord came by to fix our washing machine.
Smart.
Just because, you know, I don't, there's already the Dolly picture with Alice Crowley. There's a lot in here where you're like, I don't want to explain this further. I want to figure out what's up with this corner.
Alice
over here.
Crowley, that would rule.
Is that his?
No,
oh, that's
Alice
a wrestler.
Cooper.
That's a There's a wrestler named Alice Crowley. Shout out Alice Crowley, Alice Cooper. Shout out Alice Crowley, Big Alice, they call her. She's awesome, punk rocker. But yeah, no, that's Alice Cooper. I mix a lot of things up. What's up with this corner? Both dogs have just stared off into the corner of this room behind me.
I need to do like a full... It has felt better in here. I don't know what to do about the outside because that's the outside.
I think we just walk through that whole back area with some sage and have a conversation. Dead serious, okay?
I will be continuing to work on that problem.
I don't know. I think if we can make contact a little bit and let them know it's all right, they're free to go. The war is over.
We're not getting in that downstairs space.
Sir, you won the war. And here's the thing about the downstairs space. I don't even know what's in there. There are 4 locked entrances to this downstairs space. I'm not getting into it.
If Howard has bodies somewhere, that's where the bodies are.
When he lit the pilot light on the oven and he opened the bottom, and I'm guessing the gas has just been flowing, I was like, am I about to watch this man blow his face off. He goes, give me a lighter. And I said, okay, here, man. And he just reaches his hand back. And I said, here we go. I said, are you sure about this? He was fine. He knew it was okay. He took a picture to show me how to relight it.
Perfect.
So we just want to let this soldier know they won the war. It's over. And you're free to stay in the area if you like. You're also free to leave the area.
I haven't had many weird ones lately.
My dreams in this house are fucking crazy, Peter.
I woke up with a joke in my head the other day. But I didn't write it down. It was a very funny joke, but I didn't write it down.
Huh. What does a crazy pepper do against jalapeno business? we'll talk about that on the minisode. And as we say this, Bebop has now popped up and looked out the side window at something that's passing by. And it could be the cat on a leash.
It could be the cat on a leash.
I'm going to say it's the cat on the leash. Right? Right. Yeah. Hey, Bebop, what's up? He is intense. I'm not going to look. I don't want to look. I don't want to know anything else. I'm fine. Thank you to all the spirits out there that are not fucking my life up. And thank you to the processing spirits that are helping me get through my dreams. We're at the Mecca. I open the show announcing that it's a birthday party. And this is actually a very special night that we're recording this on. Nick Wayne turned 18 on Monday. And why is that a big deal? He's debuting on AEW Dynamite tonight. I'm so excited. Versus Swerve Strickland, someone I know from the indies who has gone on to do really cool, awesome things. But tonight, Nick Wayne's debut on AEW Dynamite. So I think I might tune in. I might check it out. But he had that last indie match. I got to do commentary on it.
Do you get anything from turning 18 these days?
Well, he got to finally be on TV.
I mean, like legality-wise. Yeah, well, you still can't smoke cigarettes.
You can sign up for selective service, and you can buy scratch-off tickets.
Okay.
And
that's porn?
I think you can watch porn.
Okay.
Legally. They've got the age verification on X-Hamster now. And I don't know if people know about this, but you have to upload your valid ID and a picture of yourself. So RIP X-Hamster, good luck. Good luck trying to keep up. What a foolish time we live in. They're taking everything from us. They took our Twitter. They took our porn. You know what they can't take? Our ability to beat them up. All right? It's time to get violent, motherfuckers. This is my real problem is if you're super right wing, you become like a domestic terrorist. And if you're super left wing, you sign some kind of, what do they call them when you sign a thing?
Petition?
Yeah, you sign a petition.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to sign that petition.
Yeah,
it's time. All right. I love being an entertainer. I've said it before. I think it's beautiful. I get to travel the world entertaining people with my special dance. But guess what? I'm going to lead an uprising of militants. And we are going to, much like the Righteous Gemstones, live off of Jim Baker-type buckets of broccoli cheddar rice. Get ready, motherfucker. Did you watch the new episode
yet?
Oh, my God, those kids.
I love how perfectly they taught that younger actor to talk like Danny McBride.
Well, and somebody was like, they were online and they said, well, you know, they had them act it out in front of them so they'd know what to do. And I was like, you know, no, he's an incredible actor.
Yeah.
The inflection and talking and the looks. Yeah. And the little jump when he shaved that guy's head, it was perfect. There was some real wild shit going on. Now, I want to say I did misspeak because Danny McBride said he wants to do two more seasons of Righteous Gemstones. I had heard somewhere this was the last season, but I don't think it is. But I do think it's going to end with some real crazy shit.
I think because Eastbound and Down was like 5 or 6, right?
To me, I think it was 4.
Okay.
But that fourth season felt like a post-death dream. I don't know. It was very weird. The fourth season was weird as fuck of Eastbound and Down.
True. I think that was my favorite one.
Really? My favorite one was the second one because I'm born in Myrtle Beach and they spent a lot of time in Myrtle Beach.
That's true.
And that third one in Mexico was crazy just with the Stevie Janowski storyline with his Mexican wife.
Yes.
So, and I also, Michael Pena was so good in that season too. But that season two for me, Myrtle Beach, baby.
I watched the pilot
the
other day, and it hit differently, and I didn't know.
What's the bar they go up to?
Fuck.
Where he's like, it's something ridiculous. It's not Shenanigans, because that's the That's the Office Space one, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. You know that's a real place?
Is it?
Yeah, you can actually go to a Shenanigans.
With Flair?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Or no, it's the Waiting Restaurant. What was the restaurant?
I think they were both called Shenanigans.
They were both called Shenanigans?
I think Waiting was Shenanigans, and I think Office Space was Shenanigans. I might be misspeaking. I don't want to misspeak here.
We're going to find out that the Shenanigans company was running...
Running a scheme?
Yeah.
Scheme. Sometimes my phone lets me type. Sometimes it doesn't. Okay, Waiting Restaurant. Shenanigans with a Z. And now I'm going to look up Office Space Restaurant. Oh, it was Tchotchke's.
Tchotchke's.
That was the Office Space Restaurant was Tchotchke. Shenanigans was Waiting with Ryan Reynolds. Great film.
All I'm finding is an actual bar called Eastbound and Down.
It had a great name. Hold on.
Your dog-friendly bar with a weird Smokey and the Bandit obsession. Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 2. Okay.
No. I can't find it.
That's okay.
I tried. If anybody knows the Eastbound and Down bar, because there's that scene where Kenny Powers yells out that he's going to the bar, but he says the name of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good. Okay. Well, listen, I had a great time at the Mecca. Afterwards, we went to a little after party to celebrate the birthday of Orange Crush Adam and Nick Wayne. And then I rushed. I said, we got to rush back to Jimmy Lloyd's house in Philly, because I was booked on a flight out of Philly, which got me home as early as possible. And as soon as we got in the car, we got to Jimmy's house on time. I slept for a minute. We got in the car to go to the airport, and I opened it up. My flight was canceled. Now, it wasn't just my flight. Murdoch's flight was canceled. Cole Radrick's flight was canceled. There were at least five flights canceled out of different airports. And I started looking up options. I said, what about a bus? It's going to take 31 hours. I said, what about a rental car? They had none available. I said, what about another flight out of another city? The best thing I could find was getting me home at real late at night, and it was $2,000. So I eventually said, looks like we're fucked. And I booked a flight for the next day, and I gave up. And I went back to bed. Now, that flight the next day was still out of Philly. It was Delta, so I was going to guess it took off. We recently had a Delta flight in Atlanta. It landed without wheels, so it was fine. And it just lets you know Delta is going to get it done.
Good grief, really?
I was about to take off the other day, and AJ goes, did you hear about the Delta flight that just landed? I said, what happened? He said, they landed with no wheels. I said, the airport is moving on as if this did not happen, and my flight is going to go off as planned. But yes, the idea that, okay, well, I'm going to get home early Monday because I have to leave again very early on Thursday to get to my next show didn't help me. Didn't help me even a little bit, because now I could either get mad that my flight is canceled, be frustrated about it, or I could own it, and I could move on with my day. But I woke up after going back to bed at Jimmy Lloyd's house at about 10:30, 11. And I got a text from Cole Radrick saying, look, we're stranded here in Newark. Now, it's not good to do, but Jimmy Lloyd had a rental car sitting out front. Jimmy Lloyd was still asleep. So I said, fuck it, I'm going to go get him. Because they were stranded there. They were not going to get a flight out of Newark. They were probably going to get a flight out of Philly. What did we do? I drove to Newark in the rental car up the New Jersey Turnpike, and I drove straight back with those boys in the back. And once we got there and got to Jimmy's house, we kind of looked around, and Cole said, let's just go to the hotel and get some air conditioning and get some good food and get some rest. So we went to the hotel, we rested, we ate Arby's, and we watched Monday Night Raw. Now I'm going to give y'all are going to say, oh, Effie's just being a dick. This is a three-hour wrestling program that I counter-program against most Monday nights. I don't watch this show because I'm doing my own show. This show was not good. There was not good matches. There was not good talking segments. For some reason, Ronda Rousey is still there. There were a lot of very predictable moments. There were two women fighting over a jacket, one of them being like a fake Max the Impaler character with dirty old barefoot feet. It was very bad. I heard she's a real QAnon bitch. I don't know. I just got to say, people, if this is what we're putting out in mainstream wrestling? No wonder we can't get any new fans. This shit is corny. This shit is relying on tropes from years and years and years and years. And I will keep harping on the fact that the people working backstage at these shows now, on any of these TV shows now, and that includes all the major companies. And as AJ says, why do you keep shit-talking people who have the ability to pay you more money in wrestling? You know what? I don't know. But I do know this. I'm not going to lie to people when they ask me what I think about this shit. You have a company that is full of people who never got over, who never sold tickets, who were never good enough to retire from wrestling by actually wrestling, who are now backstage telling all of today's superstars how to do wrestling, how to get over with wrestling, how to have a match finish that makes people interested in wrestling, how to book a segment that's interesting for wrestling fans, and it is ass. It is all ass. These people were probably good at some things. But guess what? They were not good at getting over or drawing money or selling tickets. And now they're in charge of telling everybody else how to sell tickets, how to get over, and how to draw. It is embarrassing to watch. And you can tell that these are guys who are like, well, shit, this worked in 1998. Let's try it again. Instead of coming up with anything new or taking any risks that are interesting to anyone. It is horrible. It is boring. It is insulting to your intelligence as a fan. And I will stand by this in saying we have not fully perfected how to make the most money off of the vibe we have now in independent wrestling. We are working on getting better at collecting the money correctly and making it a viable living for people to do on their own. But I would not trade in all the fucking work I have to do to be told by someone that this is my segment and not be able to talk back and say, this is so fucking stupid. So you know what? Y'all are mentally stronger than me to show up every week and be told, here's the dumbest thing you've ever heard. Here's the worst idea you've ever heard. And you do a little salute and you say, yes, sir. And you go out there and it is ass. I'm a believer that your entrance, your promotional material and ability to speak, and your match quality are the three things that make a superstar. You can get away with two, maybe. You can't get away with one, maybe. But as I watch this show, I see a lot of people who are real strong with one or two things. I do not see a lot of three-tier wrestlers. I do not see a lot of people who can do all of them. I see a lot of storylines, and I see a lot of motivation that is based in pro wrestling. I had to listen to fucking Ricochet tell people, I come out here every week to make sure y'all get your money's worth, and you think Ricochet was the highlight of your night. Yo, you shut the fuck up. Your motivation should be to win money and championships. And Logan Paul, who's supposed to be the heel, who I really don't like as a person, comes out and goes, you dumbass, you're supposed to be winning and making money, not worrying about if you create a highlight for the fans' memories. To see these storylines being run with pro wrestling as the motivator versus pro wrestling being the storytelling method of giving human conflict and giving human stories, it is mind-boggling that they don't understand why this doesn't work. It doesn't work because you're playing inside baseball in front of a crowd that wants to be entertained, but that is going to be motivated on a higher level by real human conflict and not just somebody saying, I've worked so hard for 20 years to be a part of wrestling and now I made it here and I want to make sure all the fans say that I'm the highlight of the night when they see me doing cool things. What a fucking load of bullshit, man. What a dumbass statement to make. This is an art form using pro wrestling to sell human conflict, to sell human combat, to do conflict resolution of real human emotional tales, and y'all are stuck with pro wrestling being pro wrestling. It is an impression of itself. It is an impression of the past 40 years. You could put half this TV shit, half the storylines, half the tropes that y'all are basing this shit off over each other, and you can't tell if it's 1994 or it's 2003 or 2023 or 2014. It is all a repetition of itself. It is all an imitation of itself, and the diminished returns we're getting for mainstream pro wrestling are going to eventually run out. I am holding my fucking cards, Peter, because I am watching people do this. I am watching people not react to this, and I'm watching these shows where fans are just as confused as anyone. I'm going to take a second to address the crowd. Grow up. You should be highly motivated to use your professional wrestling to show us what that human emotional conflict is. And if you can't do that, then you are not fit to be an entertainer at this level. They're going, Effie, you're an indie guy. You wrestle for a couple hundred people. Guess what? A couple hundred people can grow to a couple thousand people can grow to millions of people on the internet. And they are eventually going to pick the thing that actually has meat and grip. Y'all Y'all are shiny. Y'all are 4K. Y'all are HD. And it is nothing. It is a bunch of nothing. It is predictable. It is formulaic. It is a math equation of falsies and heat and cutoffs. And there is nothing to it. There is nothing unpredictable. And there is nothing to hook the consumer or keep their hands gripped to what is happening. We have to move past it. We got to get over it. It's so fucking stupid to watch. And the only thing I can do at this point, because I'm very busy, is to keep putting out the kind of product that I would like to see myself as a consumer and see if other people come along with me. And eventually, the comparison will be so greatly differentiated that they won't be able to go back to this thing that is not worth a fucking shit, that is the same regurgitated, shiny bullshit with nothing for you to hold on to, with no meat at the center. It is soulless. It is colorful. It is loud, but there is nothing there. Y'all have no depth. Y'all have no 360 view on a character. Y'all have no range of emotion. And nothing you're doing is not just you doing an impression of something else. Stop doing an impression and start trying to emotionally show conflict through your pro wrestling. It is sad. It is boring. And it sucks. Sorry to say it. It fucking sucks. You know what? The best part about WWE or AEW is that I don't have to watch any of the TV. Because the video package they put together of the exact things they want from their storylines, that's the 2.5 minutes before the actual match at the pay-per-view, that is way easier than watching 7 weeks of floundering TV while they figure it out and make people repeat lines because they didn't hit their marks. When I can tell you've rehearsed this in front of a mirror all fucking day to the point where you are just hitting little points and marks instead of speaking from your mind and heart, it doesn't do anything for me. And I can keep going on and on and on about this. And it is frustrating to be in an industry where I can have this view and have this opinion. And I can also say, I guess I'm wrong, because the majority of the money being made is being put out by these large-scale mainstream companies. And if I want to make more money, if I physically want to make the most money I can make, I would shut the fuck up and I would just do the thing. But I think in time, nobody who has followed the rules or listened to some dipshit mid-card backstage agent has ever gotten over or changed the way the business is done. Fuck Hulk Hogan, but look at Hulk Hogan. The Rock, Stone Cold, even John Cena and his fucking jean shorts doing rap bits. No one has ever gotten over or made money in this business by doing everything else that has been done. And I'm here to say that the next wave of pro wrestling will not come from televised, advertising selling, TVPG dumbasses who can't run away from this business because they never made enough money in this business to get out of this business. All of y'all are sitting backstage giving bad ideas to people who are willing to say yes to anything. Look at what it's giving you. Your TV ratings are ass. Your fans are fine with whatever. And instead of saying you could make new fans, y'all have relegated yourself to saying, no, we're just going to make a product that our people that are already watching are going to watch. Well, shit. We're not stupid. Just because we're wrestling fans doesn't mean you can continue to insult us with some of the worst shit we've ever seen. We put up with a lot. We put up with a whole lot to love wrestling. And I am tired of having to put an asterisk or a caveat on being a wrestling fan when we could do so much better. Peter? I'm Jesus. In my fucking feels this
yeah,
week.
Jesus Christ. You want to do questions?
Yeah, please let us do questions. I just want to say I did get on a flight home from Philly. I slept the whole time on it. And before I got on that flight, shout out Philly Airport, Carrito restaurant, where I had a chorizo chicken and black bean breakfast burrito with eggs before I got on my plane. It was delicious.
I love the Gemini ability to turn on a dime after being so fired up and just give us what you had for breakfast.
It was a very good burrito. You'll see it on the Patreon video, weekendateffies.com.
Speaking of Patreon, this is also our switch to Mondays. So if you're listening to this on the Patreon, you got it early. If not, you're listening to it on Monday.
Yes, I think it's going to help us a bit. I do think Friday as a day has limited us somewhat because a lot of people are not looking for podcasts on a Friday. They're looking when they're going to work on Monday. And I don't want us to get lost to the weekend. We do well But I want more listeners. I want more people to find us. I think a Monday drop is going to do us good. And I want to give that opening and that extra time to our Patreon members, because if we record late or something happens, you don't have those extra days to feel like you're getting it special just for you. So if you're listening normal, welcome to Monday. If you're listening on the Patreon, thank you. What a blessing. So happy to have you here. You're helping us tremendously. We are trying to grow the Patreon and hopefully able to do more cool things in the future. Once we get through this week and we're not feeling crazy and sick and wild anymore, we have a lot of big things coming. Just hang with us. We really appreciate you, and we want to make it worth your while to stick with us on the Weekend at Effie's Patreon.
All right. Questions. This is from Drugs.
I got to see Drugs this weekend in Hartford. Yeah. It was wonderful.
Hi, Effie and Peter. Hope y'all are doing well. And Effie, I hope you recovered from that sweat box of a venue in Hartford.
They never turned the AC on.
That's crazy.
They told us they would.
Damn.
The cum ghosts were even tired and sweaty.
Goo goo gaga. Great to see you as always. Just found out that my sister who I live with is all about you from some TikTok she has seen.
Whoa.
Crazy.
Crazy.
The TikTok effect is a little
ridiculous. We got to get back on our TikTok game, only because I've had multiple people come up and say, we just came to see you live because we saw you on TikTok. And that is kind of my dream, for people to show up and to sort of go like, Andy wrestles? Like, we just wanted to look at
him. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, TikToks will be back soon. We're also figuring out video content and what that's going to kind of look
like.
Really, the and we're going to talk about in the mini-sode, shoes, waiting for shoes to drop. Getting the house settled was the big shoe that I was waiting to drop for.
It feels more settled than ever. We got our trash cans today. We're not going to have to share trash cans with our neighbors anymore.
Okay, this is from Danny. How many dog toys have you guys bought since Bebop and Lucy lived together?
Here's the thing.
We're going the opposite direction. We're trying to kill as many dog toys as possible.
We're trying to let them just destroy what we have here. They go through a lot of them, but one thing I figured out is these small blankets you can buy on Amazon. They're like 1 foot by 1 foot blankets. They love ripping those apart together to the point where, like, I love seeing them play tug of war. I know you do too. It wears them out, but they also will walk into the room at the same time with a small square of a blanket. Like, they want to show us their truce.
Yeah.
Like, look, we both got a piece of this blanket. It's fine now. And I've tried to get more toys without the stuffing. So I got like a skunk. I think you got a rabbit or something that got ruined. It's on the floor right there. I don't know. Or maybe it's over here.
Who knows?
There's part of it. There's the tail. I try to get the ones without the stuffing because sometimes you'll walk into the living room and there's just stuffing everywhere. Yep. And they are wonderful at playing together. But whenever Cranberry is here, she gets very nervous when they get intense.
She's a little referee.
She's the referee. But it's okay for them to be intense. They growl at each other and they pull. And Bebop's not as strong as Lucy, but he's very like sneaky. And he'll trick her.
Lucy also will tone it down a little bit.
She's happy to have someone to play with.
She's happy to have someone to play with.
And her and Bebop go so far back that she kind of understands, listen, he's not as strong as me, but he's pretty fun. He's down to play. We're both a little wild. Let's let him feel like he has advantage at some point.
And then Bebop takes advantage of that and pulls little Machiavellian moves on Lucy.
Yeah, he's a little shitbird, but I love him. And I'm going to put an air tag on him this weekend when I get back. Yeah, I've been letting him out to go to the bathroom without a leash, which sounds very dangerous, but he's getting so good at the commands and listening to me and following with me.
Aww.
That I feel like the more steps I take with him to do that, the better we'll be. I hope a bicycle doesn't come by.
Yeah, that's really the only thing.
This morning there was a very cool guy on an electric wheelchair, and we had our trash cans here. So I was trying to pull the new trash cans up the hill while keeping care of Bebop. And Bebop was very interested in the electric wheelchair, as you can imagine. So it was a bit of a, if you watched me pulling trash cans up the hill this morning, it was hilarious.
Okay, this is from Amber. Rewatching all of Effie's big gay brunches this week to get hyped for attending my first one this September. The Twink Gauntlet has been a favorite so far, even if it is a gateway drug to wanting an otter bear hardcore deathmatch tea party.
Oh my god.
What has been a favorite memory or highlight for the both of you so far? So just highlights from previous Gay Brunches.
Yeah, I think when I think back to what it is now, which like Big Gay Brunch 7, technically 8, if we're including the international one, which like what a crazy moment. That first Big Gay Brunch, all the Big Gay Brunches now have taken place around an All Out or they've taken place around a WrestleMania, except for the very first one, which was supposed to be in Tampa and ended up being in Indianapolis as a part of a big collective that took place during COVID. And that one to me is so special because there's so many people on that show that were booked because I knew them personally. They were booked because I had a relationship with them as a human being and not just as a wrestler. And I was so nervous in that time during COVID, during speaking out, to make sure that we were booking a show that was safe, that was good for people, that was going to make people feel uplifted, and that was full of a lot of really good wrestling. I think it is a testament that that first show was never supposed to succeed and was done in the middle of COVID in Indiana. And now we are looking at our third show in Chicago. We are going to be returning to Philadelphia next year for WrestleMania with our Philadelphia Freedom, Tom Hanks, Palooza, Elton John, spectacular. I can look across wrestling now and say that I think the industry, the entire industry and the history of professional wrestling would look different if I didn't exist. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me, that after all this time, after being booked the whole time, after being on the road so much, after taking on so much stress and trying to put people in the position to succeed, that from that first Big Gay Brunch, it was just me saying, I want to put my people out there who I think are great, and looking at where they've gone now and looking at how much has changed, it is magic that we were allowed to create something sort of out of nothing and that it has become such a desirable, magic, big show today. And I think we're going to be looking at doing an illegal show in a dick-shaped state coming up, but I have to be cautious in the way I promote it because of the laws, but they can't stop me, motherfucker. Let somebody come in there and try to stop me, motherfucker.
I love that. That rules. Yeah,
it's going to be sick. News on that soon. Hopefully before Philly, we'll be doing something punk rock to take on the bigots in the old state I used to live in.
All right, this is from Emily. What music are you vibing on lately?
Great question. I just finished listening to the new Viagra Boys album.
Oh, I didn't know they put out a new album.
It's bananas.
Oh, shit.
It's not that new. It's new enough.
Okay.
But it is, they're so, I like a band that can be making songs where if you didn't have that sort of grit in your mouth, you wouldn't understand that they're being dicks, and they're making songs where they're being dicks. And I think that's always fun. I've been re-listening to a lot of The Darkness recently.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I love the production. Justin Hawkins did productions on the, I think, second or third Foxy Shazam album. And I've always just loved the way he makes everything so grandiose and done. But I started one of their albums for 2019 called Easter is Canceled. And the front cover is them, like, it's really satanic-y looking. And Jesus is buffing himself off the cross. I just love that their whole aesthetic has always been like, yeah, you think we're like corny 80s fake hair metal boys. We'll fuck with your brain. And that's been fun. I've been re-listening to...
They're going on tour with Head Automatica.
The Darkness is?
No, Foxy Shazam.
When is that coming around here?
No.
Oh, my
You're
God.
You're going to have to find them elsewhere.
Allie
has
been talking to me about going to see Head Automatica for a while. But I do have that memory of getting to watch Glassjaw side stage.
Ooh.
Side stage for Glassjaw with Orange Cassidy and Keith Buckley. And I remember looking around the room going, my life's not supposed to be like this.
That's
this
crazy.
Is incredible. What a fucking time. Speaking of Keith Buckley, I've been re-listening to a lot of Every Time I Die while I've been working out. For a while, Peter, I was listening just exclusively to murder podcasts while I worked out. And I found out having some bass and some guitar riffs actually helped the workouts go even better. And I was less depressed while I was working out. So,
I'm gonna make you a metal workout playlist.
Please do. You got me hooked to those new Knocked Loose singles, and I've been going back through that inventory, but I think the new album is going to be the heaviest one yet.
Yes.
And I've been listening to Chiodos. I've been listening to not the EP, but the first two Chiodos albums, All's Well That Ends Well and Bone Palace Ballet, because whatever, I'm 16 again. I don't give a fuck. Let's go to Warped Tour.
That's so funny. I've been loving the new Little Dragon album that came out last week.
I want to listen to that. I used to listen to a lot more Little Dragon.
It's weird. A lot of drama lately, just because I've been in like a weird... Because have you ever listened to Drama?
Drama the rapper?
No. It's a two-piece, like an electronic
piece. No, I haven't.
It's the best sad girl music because it's not, I'm so sad that you left me. It's, you fucked up, you left me.
Oh.
Like, that's the whole vibe.
Like, you should have kept this closer, stupid idiot.
Yeah, exactly. New Kim Petras, fucking
ooh,
rules.
Yes.
Glad that she returned to her roots and did not go down that weird... Like, she toned... Okay, I'm going to sound like a bad gay because of what I'm about to say.
I love it.
She toned down the sexuality on it, and it worked.
Yeah.
Because I thought slut pop was unlistenable.
And here's where I think you're wrong. I think slut pop is its own thing, but I think what's beautiful about Kim Petras is, like, she can do a spooky Halloween album,
yes,
and then she can do slut pop, and they're very different things,
yeah,
but it's, like, all very Kim Petras, and there's not the worry of, like, having a whole theme on an album is not going to define where she's going to go next.
Yeah, that's how I feel about this record.
Yeah, and I just want to say, someone tweeted some article about how Morgan Wallen overtook Kim Petras on the charts. And if I ever see Morgan Wallen in public, I'm going to beat the shit out of that fucking loser. You racist chud. Sorry, I just had to interject.
Taylor Swift's new record is like almost at the top.
She keeps dedicating these albums to me, Taylor's version, but it hasn't really caught me the right way. Wait a second. Oh, it's her name. Oh my God. I thought she was trying to send me a message. I did listen to one of the Beyonce live concert recordings the other day. My God. Beyonce is just, she's on another level. Could I afford the $1,500 concert tickets? No, I'm not doing it. But somebody SoundCloud uploaded that whole thing and it sounds about HQ.
Hell yeah.
Woo! That girl is beefing some tracks together. And I believe it's Honey Gorgeous from, she was on, maybe that's, Honey is her name, their name. But they've been on tour dancing with Beyonce.
Okay.
And they've been calculating, like, there's this pause during energy, I'm pretty sure, where Beyonce will wait longer if the crowd is crazier. So they've been kind of posting these updates about how long the energy pause has been.
That's so funny.
And it's lovely to see.
That.
Honey Balenciaga. I'm sorry, Honey Gorgeous. What am I talking about? Honey Balenciaga. Shout out Honey Balenciaga. Dancing on Beyonce's world tour. So sick to see. They canceled that show, Legendary, which is bullshit. I also saw is it Law who's on Legendary? Law Roach? Who's the fashion stylist? There's the scene where they're dressed as Beetlejuice on one of the horror episodes. And he sings Amazing Grace.
Said it three times.
Oh my God.
Wow, Peter, what are we going to do? We're going to have fun? Oh, God, things are changing around here. You thought your house was going to be clean, not from the siege.
Okay, well, that happened abruptly. I was trying to be cautious. It's not coming. And sang Amazing Grace and then said, that was me singing at your funeral. You're done. And it was beautiful. Wow, what does this mean? What are we going
to
do?
I don't know. I also, we don't have to go into this heavy, but I am curious about Donald Glover and Beyonce's relationship post-Swarm.
Oh, it has to be fine. I think Beyonce understands.
But do you know, okay, just throw my two conspiracy cents in here. You know who did the soundtrack for, wait, no, shit, I'm fucking this up. Blood Orange did Master Gardener.
Yes.
So this, my conspiracy doesn't work.
Okay, well, Blood Orange soundtrack
because
on Master Gardener.
Devontae Hines produced Solange's EP and album. And, you know, the elevator incident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Devontae Hines, though, doing the Master Gardener soundtrack, kind of genius.
Yeah.
Just genius in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I love Blood Orange.
Me too.
So good.
Were you a Test Icicles fan?
I was not listening to a lot of Test Icicles.
What about Lightspeed Champion?
Lightspeed Champion fucking rules. We used to play that on our college radio show.
That's so funny.
I know. Also, when we were at the Cure, we were having a picture taken, me and Brad, and just to show we were at the show together. And then someone asked us to take a picture of them. And the guy was wearing a Tori Moi shirt.
Oh, shit.
I went to college with Tori Moi. And we used to go to some cool house parties at their place.
Hell yeah.
And not to brag, but I was talking with Ernest Green from Washed Out. I said, I love your music, whatever. We went to USC too. And he said, I was recording that first album at one of those house parties that you came to. And he knew exactly when. And he was like, yeah, I was in the room recording my first album while that house party was happening.
Holy shit.
Crazy. Four Loko was still caffeinated at that point.
So you may have been in the same space when the Portlandia theme song was recorded.
Very much so.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I remember that house specifically in Columbia.
That's crazy.
Columbia, South Carolina, big music town, gotta tell you. Between Hootie and Tori Moi and Washed Out, and of course, you know, Corporate Casual. I'm not gonna get into it any further.
Effie Martinez. So I have to differentiate Effies, of course. Hi, friends. First, gotta let you know, I live in Colorado now, but I was born and raised 20 plus years in Iowa. Oh, yeah, we got... pushback on our Iowa.
I'm sorry.
And we're about to head the other direction again. So strap in, everyone from Iowa. And boy, I absolutely loved hearing you go off about how much Iowa sucks. Because you're right. Any stereotype you might have heard about Iowa, it's true. Definitely not a destination state, and for good reasons. Relatedly, fuck Kim Reynolds. I will give Iowa credit for two things. Casey's Breakfast Pizza and Steve Manders. Anyway, my vaguely related question is, whether for a vacation, performance, wrestling, etc., what is the absolute worst place / town you've ever had to travel to, and what made it so unpleasant? Love y'all from the other Effie.
Okay, so to people of Iowa, I just want to say I probably overreacted a little bit. To Effie, the Casey's Country Pizza, breakfast country pizza, fucking rules. Everything at Casey's rules. I love Steve Manders. I've had good times in Iowa. And just like Alabama, just like Mississippi, just like, you know, North Dakota, there are wonderful people there. All right. I'm not discounting the people.
Slipknot comes from Iowa.
Why do you think Slipknot's so fucking angry and wears masks? Okay. I just want to say I agree with Becky Lynch on Iowa, and that's as deep as I want to get into it. But let's just say she's not living where Seth Rollins wants her to. the worst place I've ever been was Pelzer, South Carolina, when my brother played travel baseball and we had to stay at a hotel there, and it was a nightmare. I think there are beautiful parts of South Carolina. I think overall South Carolina is full of a lot of bullshit, and Pelzer, South Carolina, fucking ass. It's the ass of the nation. It's too hot. It's full of nothing, and it's bullshit. You know, Marion, South Carolina has one of the highest homicide rates in the entire United States. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it is the exact halfway point between Miami and New York City. So a lot of people who are doing drug trades will stop in Marion to make that happen between Miami and New York, and then they end up killing each other. So it's not the citizens of Marion. It's that they pick this bofunk little town to do their drug trades in because it's that halfway point, and people just get shot all the time there.
So, funnily enough, Marion, Kansas is where my grandparents used to live.
Okay.
And it is named after Francis Marion, who was Mel Gibson's character in The Patriot.
Whoa.
And so all the Marions around there, because he was, you know, this hero of whatever war that was, bad at history.
Did you ever watch The Beaver? We've talked about that.
The Beaver?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Didn't we talk about this on the show pretty in
Maybe.
Detail?
I'm the Beaver.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm the Beaver. Jodie Foster directed that film.
I don't know. I just have to communicate through my beaver. I just want to say to Mel Gibson, hope you trip down the stairs, motherfucker. Stop making shitty action movies. You're not going to be Steven Seagal. And fuck you, Steven Seagal. I'm in my mood today.
All right, last question. This is from Anthony. Hello, friends. What is one movie you would recommend everyone see?
Whoa. This is dense. Mm-hmm. Fuck.
I have mine if...
Yeah, do you want to go?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is it?
Have you ever seen The Lives of Others?
No.
It's a German film.
No.
It is. It's one that it like it serves better to tell you less about it.
Okay.
But it's basically about when there was still the split between the two Germanys, and basically the whatever the internal force, like the police, was dropping in on like a supposed communist couple.
Yeah.
And it's basically about how him spending time in their lives changes him. It's one of the most astonishingly beautiful, like I'm going to get choked up.
Oh my God.
Thinking about
Don't
it.
Get
like,
choked up yet.
It has probably the best ending line of any movie where you're just hit with a ton of bricks in like such a great way. But it is very much like, don't judge the other people around you until you've actually like lived in their space. Really, really beautiful.
Walk a mile in their feet.
It was
not everyone wears shoes.
Best foreign language winner whenever it came out.
Well, I'm gonna go in a different direction, even though it's a foreign film as well, and it's Roy Anderson's A Pigeon Sat on a Branch Contemplating Existence. Because you either are gonna be real into this or you're gonna hate it so much that you have to walk away. And I think it's gonna help me figure out where we're going next together. You know what I mean? I've watched it 3 times.
Really?
Yeah, I fucking love that movie. The second one after that, even weirder. But I think The Pigeon on a Branch, Doug Benson said he hated it. And I love it even more because of that.
That's incredible.
The dogs are going rowdy right now. Bebop!
You little shit.
Okay.
I just remembered I bought fig bars at Kroger today. Fuck yeah. I made some unhealthy choices at the grocery store today, and I'm fine with it. Well, let's wrap things up here for a second. Weekend at Effies.com for the Patreon. We're going to record another mini-sode about entertainment and Asteroid City and some other things. And we're going to be careful in which Michael Keaton characters we name. I guess we don't have to be careful anymore. We did it 3 times.
Yeah, he's already here.
I wish that in The Flash, he would have brought that character back instead of Batman.
Oh, that would have ruled.
Yeah. But I heard they're making another one with Lydia's daughter, and he's coming back. We're going to talk about the Wonka trailer, too.
Yeah.
We got a lot to say.